We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Become a member. We're walking to over 30 branches right here in East Tennessee. We'll take great care of you. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. It's the official credit union of Three and Out. We are more than a number. Your family. Yeah, I looked back at the class, Chris, during the break. JT Stroud. That's who we got instead of Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Emory Jones, Justin Fields. Famous stories were Justin Fields showed up on a visit. No one knew who he was. That was embarrassing. Trevor Lawrence and Emory Jones got the same text message while they were sitting side by side about how...
they were the quarterback of the future.
From Butch Jones.
You're our number one target, he said to both. You know, for all the effort he put into recruiting, that was a pretty big miss. Pretty, pretty big. Speaking of pretty big, Nate, what do you think about 101.915? Huh? Uh-huh. Yep.
I have a lot of thoughts about this. Where do you want me to start?
Wherever you'd like. Got to keep it over 100,000. Dr. Dan isn't going to do us dirty.
I think from a marketing standpoint, it's smart to just say it's more than 100,000. Why not?
Maybe it is.
Who cares? No one's ever going to count. No one's ever going to know.
Maybe that's your job. You got to count them.
Well, most of the time these days as people try and kind of put out stuff that's not real, I like to call that out. But with this, it doesn't really matter.
Didn't think this is where you were going.
It's fine. Do I think there's actually going to be more than 100,000 people in that stadium ever? No. I mean, maybe counting all the workers and everything.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're doing.
Sure, okay.
They're counting all those
count
guys.
More people. Whatever.
I mean, that but deck, that's a lot of standing room.
Do I actually, in my heart of hearts, believe that they only eliminated, how many, what was the difference, 500-something?
Yeah, like 540.
Do I actually believe they only eliminated 540 seats? I mean, obviously they're adding back some standing room people, but we talked about it during an earlier break. Unless those standing people all stand starting together at all times, I saw somebody say, well, there's a lot of room, standing room only on that party deck. I was like, no, it's incomparable. It does not make any sense. You're going to have 500 people less when you rip out a whole section where people are literally in seats too small for their behinds, have them stand and move around, and only drop five. Not to mention the West Club. Like, didn't those seats get wider?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know they got nicer seats. I don't know if they got wider.
They have. If you make the seat any nicer, period, it's wider. You could see the little stickers where they made them narrower like three times to pass Michigan over and over back in whatever, in the 90s. Do I think?
I believe him.
This is a lie.
I don't think. No, I don't think Danny
absolutely
White would lie to
a
us.
Lie. Do I care? Mm-hmm. No.
I think you might care. So what's the real number? 98?
I'd have been fine with that. They could have said it's 98,981.
Why would you? I mean, if you're trying to keep the shtick. Why would you say 101.915? Like, why wouldn't you just say, like, 101? Like, oh, yeah, they lost 1,500 seats. That makes some sense. Like, I feel like you could wrap your brain around 1,500. But to say we only lost 500 seats, it's like,
Danny White probably did extensive studies and determined that the number that they came up with is the one that
the fewest people would...
I don't know. Yeah, there's some reason, right?
For 101.915?
Yeah.
I want to know.
He probably has some study that says ending it with a five makes people feel better, and the one and the one are like symmetric, and people, because of pricing, are used to nine something on the end, but like a car deal or something. I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. It better look good. That's all I'm saying. Better look good.
I mean, would you have cared if they said it was going to be 98,000?
Like a little bit, I guess.
For a few minutes, and then...
Yeah, then I would just be like, okay, 98,000. Stadium's going to look good, especially when it's full. It's all that matters. Got to fill it up. It could be 70,000, as long as it's full. And how do you fill it? You get a good team. That's the key. You got to get a 10-2, 11-1 team. Maybe 12-0 if the ball bounces the right way a few times. That's what it's all about. Just win, baby. It could be empty. Just win.
I mean, I think there would be a lot of public outcry if they had come out and said it was under 100, but I don't think...
No, there would have been. I mean, that was like the number one thing people said in those focus groups.
Which is weird to me.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'd rather win some football games than...
Well, I think that was a given. Like,
you mean just the stadium things?
Yeah, when they were asked about, like, what's the... You know, when we upgrade the stadium, what's the one thing you want to see? It's like, oh, I got to stay above 100,000. And so they did.
I'm with you, though. Like, why not give us a more believable number? Could have gone 101,515. It's been like, you know, 1,000 people down, maybe, or like
that's what I'm saying. It would have felt a little more believable, but I'm not too worried about it.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. We've got D'Arval. Let's get his thoughts on the matter. D'Ar, what's up? You're on 3 and Out.
I mean, if you really believe it, isn't that what the truth is, Nate?
It's a great point.
Yeah, I'm with y'all. It's not a believable number, which, you know, Davey, when he was on the show, he always alluded to it's not been over 100,000 for a while.
Right, and I think he's correct.
And I agree with him. I thought about that when I saw that. There's no way that's all they eliminated. And I'll be honest with you, looking at the progress they made, are they going to be done by the time the first game starts?
They better.
You know how Tennessee that would be?
Just like, don't mind the plastic drapery over the what will be the new Jumbotron and party deck. We ran out of supply.
It'd be the perfect excuse for Nissan Stadium.
You could probably get betting odds, like, you know, Joe Milton overthrowing, hitting the dump truck or whatever. speaking of things, Tennessee, in my mind, you know, I said it in the group message, Arch going to Texas. You think Bama ups the ante for Nico?
Were they even interested in Nico? I mean, I guess everybody should be, but I don't know. I feel pretty good with Nico. I feel like he's kind of locked in. Both contractually and I think he just wants to come to Tennessee.
That's what I was wondering, contractually. I wonder what the ramifications of he having to leave.
Now, Bama still has that guy from your neck of the woods, DR.
Yeah, Ty Simpson.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, again, you know, I've never seen the kid play, but I know what kind of football is out in West Tennessee. It's nothing like what y'all have. He played 2A ball. I mean, it's nothing what y'all see in East Tennessee, even Middle Tennessee. So I'm always kind of leery. And I played football against Chris Donald. You know, he's the number one linebacker in the state.
Yep. Yep.
Jack Squat. He's a nice guy. I know him now. He didn't do anything at Tennessee.
No. Couldn't see the field. Maybe special teams a little bit, but that was it.
Yeah, so I'm kind of wondering if Ty, since it's not, you know, breathing a sigh of relief with that commitment.
Maybe.
All right, guys. Well, that's all I got. You have a good weekend.
You too, DR. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, it is interesting that with Arch going to Texas, you know, Alabama. Oh, wait. No, Alabama already took a commit from the 8th ranked guy in the class.
Yeah, that was like 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah.
Another guy from Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Zachary, Louisiana. Eli Holstein.
Eli Holstein.
Mm-hmm.
5-star?
4.
Is he the one that flipped from A&M?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's 8th in the class. He's the second highest ranked 4-star behind Jaden Rashada, who's from California. He's projected, or he's crystal balled to Miami. Your quarterback's Arch Manning to Texas, Malachi Nelson to USC, Nico to Tennessee. He's 3rd. You got Dante Moore, who hasn't committed yet. He's from Detroit. He's 100% crystal ball to Oregon. Jackson Arnold is from Texas. He is committed to Oklahoma. Clemson's got the 6th-ranked guy. He's out of Alabama. Kind of weird that Bama wasn't in on him more, I guess.
They didn't like
him. He's from Birmingham. He's a five-star. And then Rashada, who I mentioned, is crystal ball to Miami. The Holstein kid, Alabama. Ninth-ranked kid is Dylan Lonergan.
Nailed it.
He's out of Georgia. He's crystal ball to South Carolina. Then you got a kid going to Louisville, Purdue, and on down the line.
Purdue.
Mm-hmm. It's a guy out of Memphis who's crystal balled to Auburn.
Who's he?
I guess Alabama just going to deal with having only a four-star guy, you know?
This breaks my heart.
How will they ever survive?
Brock Glenn is the Memphis quarterback. He's at
Brock
Glenn. Yeah. He's 18th, four-star.
Did you see that Hendon Hooker will be a counselor at the Manning Passing Academy this weekend?
No, I didn't see that, actually. Good for him.
Where does that take place at?
Louisiana.
Hmm.
Hosted by the Manning family, of course, Hickman. You don't see too many Brady passing camps out there.
He puts one on every Sunday afternoon in the fall.
Peyton and Eli did this when they played, though. I mean, this is giving back to the community. Giving back to young kids who aspire to be collegiate quarterbacks.
Maybe if they'd have focused more on actually playing football, they'd have more than four.
Maybe there's more to it than just football, Hickman. Maybe there's more to it. Joining Hooker from the SEC will be Bryce Young, KJ Jefferson, Spencer Rattler,
gross,
Stetson Bennett, Will Levis, Anthony gross. Richardson, Mike Wright, Vanderbilt quarterback, Max Johnson of
Talk
Texas A&M. Is that weird that Max Johnson of A&M is the one chosen when they have Haynes King and Calzada? Or did Calzada transfer?
Calzada's at Auburn now.
That's right. Also going will be Miles Brennan of LSU, Will Rogers, Mississippi State, and Luke Altmaier from Ole Miss.
Jackson Dart.
Yeah. So that's kind of strange.
So the whole SEC's going.
Very close to it. Also going will be Ohio State's C.J. Stroud, Miami's Tyler Van Dyke, Devin Leary of NC State, and Boston College's Phil Jerkovic. Oh, Keaton Slovis is going to go there, too, from Pittsburgh. So Hooker joining recent Tennessee legends like Harrison Bailey and Jarrett Garantano.
It hasn't gone bad for everybody that goes there, you know? It's just
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I didn't
okay.
say for us. Well, Dobbs went. Dobbs was pretty good.
I'm excited to watch Harrison Bailey the next year or two.
Where did he end up?
UNLV.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
All right. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 2 continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Talking a little Neyland Stadium, quarterbacks. I mean, thank God for Josh Heupel and his crew. Can you imagine if Arch Manning's going to Texas and all these other guys are going to other places and we're ending up with, you know, the next JT Shroud at 50th in the class.
Honestly, with Heupel, I'd be less nervous. But this is still better.
We still have Taven Jackson hiding on the roster somewhere.
This is true.
You could still have Caden Salter, but
that was his fault.
Yeah, it was all his fault.
Will he even see the field at Liberty this year?
Maybe. He got in a couple of games last year.
Did he really?
Had some pretty good moments, but so, I mean, he had a good guy that kind of learned behind.
Yeah, I'd say so. So he did get in?
Yeah. Because I remember seeing he had like a 50-yard rush in one game. Or maybe it wasn't 50. Let's see. He went 1 for 2 for 39 yards and a touchdown against UMass.
He also had one rush for 39 yards. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He had 3 rushes for 47 yards against UMass, long of 38.
Okay. Redshirt freshman. Be a sophomore next year. He did redshirt a year, right?
No. Yeah, because he didn't play in 4 games. So last year could be used as a redshirt year. You have to play in 4 games with the new rule. So he got a little bit of time, very little, but he did get to redshirt. So yeah, he'll be a redshirt freshman from Cedar Hill, Texas.
He didn't even make it through a season with us, did he?
He didn't make it out of fall camp.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All that stuff happened in
the
off-season.
Didn't he get suspended for spring ball?
Yes.
The first incident, and then suspended and kicked off the team before fall camp even started?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought.
What could have been?
Is he projected the starter for them next year?
I don't know. I'm not much of a Liberty football expert.
I thought you were an expert on all things.
That's debatable.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, I guess if he was getting playing time last year once Malik Willis was pulled.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not much playing time. He only threw, 2 passes and had 6 rush attempts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like our quarterback room. I think we're good. I think we're set there. I'm not saying they're all going to pan out, but I feel like Heupel's offense is going to attract talented quarterbacks and receivers and running backs and things like that. Hickman, you mentioned it during the break. This doesn't really come as a surprise, but Florida State is finalizing a deal to make Notre Dame's baseball coach Link Jarrett their next head coach in Tallahassee. Deal expected to be finalized shortly. Presser scheduled for Monday. Of course, Link Jarrett played shortstop, I believe, for Florida State, graduated there, and his family lives in Tallahassee.
That's official, huh?
Good for him.
Well, it's not official. It is sources per Pete Thamel. So, Notre Dame's open. And the carousel spins round and round. Tony V wouldn't be interested in Notre Dame, right?
No, we just got to make sure that USC job gets closed.
Yeah, but they're kind of...
I didn't realize how long it's been since that. Remember we read that stat yesterday? It's like...
For Southern Cal?
Yeah, they haven't
been... it's been a long time.
20 years.
Long time.
It's kind of like Tennessee football.
Good get by Florida State. Bringing them home. Kind of makes sense. See, I feel like we're seeing that more and more. Like former players at really any sport coming back and... taking the head gig.
Rarely works.
Iffy. I mean, worked for Hubert Davis. Got to a natty. Didn't win it, but got there. Juwan Howard had a decent tournament run. Penny Hardaway made the tournament.
He sucks.
I didn't say he didn't. I just said, he made the tournament. Also ducked the game against Rick Barnes and the Vols. Make of that what you will.
He probably would have beat us at the time, honestly.
Oh. Hickman, what are you doing?
Let's go to the phone lines. We got Philly on the horn next. What's up, Phil? You're on 3 and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Philly.
Y'all like about still above 100,000 bull crap?
Got to keep it over 100K. Glad they did.
Fake news.
It's good for morale.
I saw a psychological thing, but yes. Like y'all were talking about earlier, if you win, it ain't gonna matter. Look at what they did at Thompson Bowl in the arena. Then they had the biggest arena outside of Syracuse in America, and then downsized it, and the basketball got better.
It was biggest on campus that wasn't also a football stadium.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was a while we were bigger than Rupp, but Rupp technically doesn't count as on campus because, well, it's not on campus.
They're even talking about downsizing Rupp now, aren't they?
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Really?
That's what somebody told me. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well,
but
these title droughts will, fans are getting a little restless up there in Lextown.
Well, I think they're about, almost 10 years without one, and we're, heading on 30 now, right?
Yeah, it's a lot longer. Well, longer than that.
But y'all talking about Nico and – all that. I hope the guy's good, as good as he's put up to be, because we can't afford him to be a total bust.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it with Nico, again, like he hasn't played that much. I think it's just the potential factor with him. You know, he's 6'6", great arm, accurate, but he's still got a lot to learn about the position. That's why I could see Arch Manning starting as a, you know, redshirt freshman or true freshman, but I think it might take Nico a little bit more time before we see the talent really, you know, flash. Because I think he's got talent. Is he an early enrollee? Do we know? I want to say he is, but I'm not 100% sure on that. That would, I mean, that would obviously be huge.
Well, they like that Jackson kid too, from what I've heard.
Yep. Yeah, I heard he had a good spring.
So you never have enough good quarterbacks. Of course, you can't. They're not going to keep them now. I mean,
no, but
they're still somewhere else.
I've said it forever, Philly. Sign and get as many as you can to transfer in, and let the best man win, and then do it all again after the guys leave. Just keep getting as many arms on the campus as you can. Let that sort itself out.
Are y'all talking about recruiting already?
Football recruiting or what?
Yeah, football recruiting.
Not really. We mentioned a couple little notes here and there.
I watched this kid from Alabama who visited in the last few days, and they had him, I don't know if it's ValQuest, something on YouTube stuff. I mean, the kid sounded like he wants to come here. I hope he's that good. I think his dad played football at Alabama.
Is it Tamarian Parker?
No.
Oh.
He's an offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see.
Got a funny name, but, you know, they're all funny names to me now.
Fair enough. Did you say he recently visited?
Yeah, either this past weekend or in the last few days or
on YouTube. Is it Stanton Rammel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Him. 4-star, 6'7", 310 from Alabaster, Alabama.
Hmm.
So he sounded like he wanted to come, huh?
Well, that interview it did.
Okay. No, it looks like let's see here. Crystal ball predictions, there's only one, but it's got him going to Auburn. I don't know why you'd want to go to that dumpster fire right now.
He was talking about he may not even take his visit to Auburn on that interview.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, sign me up for that. I mean, 6'7", 310, that's pretty good offer list, too.
But have y'all talked about Kenny Chandler yet?
No, I hadn't gotten to it. What do you think about that slide? But then obviously the situation ended up pretty good.
Yeah. That's why I hate the NBA, though. They just ruin these kids. I mean, really the last two other guys that we had drafted that got in the first round, they weren't ready, and they should have played in their year of college.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen – a lot of people happy for Kennedy, but the fact that he slid to 38, you just wonder what another year under Rick Barnes might have done. Everything I read said, you know, they loved his athleticism, his basketball IQ. They just couldn't get over the fact that he was barely 6 feet tall.
Yeah, that's it. I agree with you on that. If he was 6'2", he would have been drafted.
Yeah, but doesn't he? And I could be wrong. Doesn't he have like a close to 7 foot wingspan? That's like the new. Hand size in the NFL, right?
Shooting 40% from the free throw line too.
That's true.
That's unacceptable.
But I feel like you can fix that. Like that's just time in the gym. Like you can fix that. But he also jumped like 42 inches. I mean, the guy's an athletic freak.
Well, that free throw percentage is. I don't understand it myself. He shot 90%. And three pro shooting centers in high school, and then he come over here, can hit the broadside of a barn door.
He shot 90% as a senior?
I don't know if it was a senior, but was it Briarcrest he had 90%?
Somebody said at one point in his high school career, I think he hit 50 free throws in a row.
What did we do to this kid?
His three-point shot got better. His free throw
worse.
It's so weird.
When when he first got on campus and I saw his 3-point shot, I did not think he would shoot nearly as well as he did. But you're right, Hickman. He got much better from three, and he didn't take easy threes.
No,
he took NBA threes and knocked them down. And I mean, it felt like when he'd hit one, he'd hit three in a row and really break a game open for you.
Is all this NIL, Spire, and Danny White and Plowman stuff? Is it legitimately true?
It feels like we've throttled down a little bit until we get a clearer picture from the NCAA as far as what is tolerable and what's not. So hopefully this is something that, you know, we get the all clear and we can ramp it back up. But I have heard from several, I don't want to say sources, but several folks that, yeah, like Tennessee's had to, they've had to ramp it down just a little bit so as not to draw too much attention to ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh. Which, I mean, Nate said it yesterday, like if Nico's attorney doesn't release the details of that contract, I don't even think we're being sniffed as, you know, one of the schools that's potentially, I mean, the fact that we got lumped in with A&M when we've made one deal with one player and they bought an entire class seems a little, you know, a little unfair in my opinion.
Well, I don't know what the NCAA can do about it. All you got to do is go to court and beat them now.
Yeah, and I think if it wasn't for the investigation, you know, into the Jeremy Pruitt stuff, I think that's exactly what we would be doing. But I feel like the NCAA is probably using their lack of a decision on that investigation as leverage to, you know, make us the poster child for, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that, because they have, you know, they actually have something over us that they could, I mean, would it put it past you, Philly, if the NCAA said, yeah, we were only going to give you 5 scholarship reductions, but since you didn't listen to us on NIL, we're going to give you 10 and a 2-year bowl ban?
Well, then they're going to have to do it to everybody else. I mean, there's all kinds of pending investigations that are probably even
that's
worse than Tennessee's out there, and they haven't done anything.
Oh, that's true.
You got that LSU stuff with the football and basketball program.
Yep.
You got Miami, Florida. You got the, well.
I mean, they're sniffing A&M for sure. They're sniffing Oregon and Texas, I believe. I mean, Nate mentioned it earlier. If an offensive lineman is guaranteed $50,000, regardless of who they are, how is that not pay for play? Like, how does that not qualify?
And then look at Southern Cal. I mean, mm-hmm. they just about have to throw money to get people to come out there now. I mean, the cost of living out there, and what, it costs $10 a gallon, the gas? I mean,
right.
They really have to be throwing the money out, you know?
Yeah, not to mention, didn't they get hammered for, I don't want to say hammered, but they got in trouble for tampering not too long ago when they were trying to get all those transfers from Oklahoma and elsewhere. Lincoln Riley's name was mentioned in a few recruiting tampering skirmishes. So, I mean, I don't know how the NCAA has enough bandwidth to handle everything that's going on right now. Like, they'd be best off just to peace out and let the conferences commission themselves.
Well, it's imperative for Tennessee to at least go 8-4 at the worst this year, because we need a shot in the arm to say this thing is going in the right direction.
I agree with that. I mean, I think 8 regular season wins, I think they're capable of much more. But if you get to 8 and then maybe win a bowl game, all of a sudden it's like, wait, they went from 7 to 9. And, you know, if you've won 8 or 9 games, obviously the offense has worked, the defense has gotten a little bit better, and I think that's what, you know, Tennessee's going to sell itself off the field, but if you can make it look like a, you know, competitive product on the field, that's how you're going to really jumpstart this thing.
All right, guys, y'all have a good weekend. See you.
You too, Philly. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks for the call, Philly. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
So why'd you choose Hootie?
I don't know. I just feel like we could use a different variety from time to time.
Feel free. I just didn't know if you had a specific reason.
I like his voice.
Do you?
Yeah.
Big Darius Rucker fan?
I don't know. He kind of took some shots at Tennessee a while back. I don't know anymore.
Kind of took some shots. I believe he went on stage and said, F Tennessee. I think that was about it. So, yeah, I'd say that counts as a shot. Hickman, did you watch any of the NBA draft last night?
No, I didn't.
Off to a great start here in this segment when Hickman doesn't. Did you keep up with any of it?
Not really.
Hickman came in this morning and said, wow, Kennedy Chandler to the Spurs. What a cool pick. Even though Kennedy Chandler was immediately traded to Memphis and gets to stay home and play with his buddy, John Morant.
To be fair, that one's on the ESPN app for not really doing a good job of explaining what all has happened with the draft. There was no mention of any trade whatsoever, so I was kind of lost there.
Yeah, you can't go to ESPN. You got to go to NBA.com for that.
Steve Forbes had a guy drafted.
I saw that fairly early, right? Like
19, I believe.
Yeah, Jake Laravia.
Nailed it. I guess.
Sounds pretty good. The weirdest thing to me last night was Jabari Smith was the odds-on favorite to go number one overall. And yesterday morning, you had Wojnarowski, pretty much every NBA analyst, top dog, saying, yep, it's going to be Jabari Smith. He's going to the Magic. It's a done deal. I mean, there was already contract talks. And then not only does Jabari Smith not go number one, he slips to three. The Orlando Magic take Paolo Banchero of Duke at one. And then the Thunder took Chet Holmgren. And did you happen to see the video of Jabari Smith as he's slipping to three?
I didn't know. What, did he look mad?
He looked like he's about to cry.
Really?
Yeah. I think
poor baby. I hate that guy.
I think he and his camp thought for sure they were number one. I'm wondering if something may come out after the dust settles with this draft. Because I had heard, and you saw some of this in the Tennessee game, he's got a ton of talent. The guy's, I mean, he's going to be an unbelievable player, I think.
Yeah, but he's an ass.
He's got an attitude problem. And I wonder if maybe that's what caused him to slip. Because I have not heard anything regarding attitude problems with Banchero or Holmgren.
I mean, there's some guys. Go ahead, Rhett.
No, I was going to say, I think Jabari Smith's the only one the Magic worked out. I don't even think they worked out Banchero.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the Magic, why would you float that it's going to be Jabari Smith? You're number one. Like, no, were they hoping that somebody would come up for a trade because they didn't actually want Jabari Smith? I mean, if I'm the Rockets, I'm sitting here pretty excited because you probably got the most talented guy in the draft if you can kind of figure out the attitude stuff. I mean, Chet Holmgren, seven foot plus.
That pick made sense though for the Thunder.
Oh yeah, I don't hate that pick. I think Chet Holmgren's a good player.
I thought Paolo was honestly going to be picked third overall.
That's what everybody was saying. It was going to be Jabari Smith. It seemed like the Thunder had kind of settled in on Holmgren, and then Banchero was going to go to the Rockets.
Yeah.
But this feels a little shady to me because you can bet on this stuff. So, like, was Wojnarowski in on this? Making sure that everybody thought it was going to be Jabari. Because the odds clearly show that like it is going to be Jabari Smith at one. If you bet on Jabari Smith to drop to three, you could have made a lot of cash last
night. Yeah, you could have.
So I just wonder if maybe there was some boardroom betting going on and they knew that they could win a little coin on the side.
I mean, the kid is a punk, though. Like, there's no hiding that. The kid is
a punk on the court. Has there been off the court issues with him?
I've not seen anything off the court, but
I did notice we were talking about him earlier. Is it KD Johnson, that game that he missed like 17 shots, and you could tell Jabari Smith was ready to throw him,
kill him
into the trash? Yeah. So I wonder if maybe, I mean, but like I feel like Bruce would stick up for the guy. Like, I don't think you're going to get any negative talk from Jabari Smith from Bruce. I was surprised to see Walker Kessler go as high as he did, too. He went 22 to the Grizz and then was immediately traded to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Pearl came out with comments about Chet Holmgren.
About Holmgren?
Yeah.
What do you say about Holmgren?
He said Kessler should go ahead of him.
No.
Interesting.
No, not very. No world.
That was my point. Like, Bruce is going to stand up for his guys no matter what.
And he also compared him, Chet Holmgren, to Sean Bradley.
Interesting.
Which he might be a bust, but
I don't think there's any need to like go at another team's guy, you know? Just promote your guy.
Yeah. How about Shaedon Sharpe?
But it's Bruce. Yeah. Man, like, that is going to be, I mean, first of all, Portland's history in the draft is just absolutely a joke. But this guy he might be the most talented player in the draft.
That's not played in like 2 years.
Now, I didn't say the best. But this guy, I don't think I've ever seen anyone for his height jump as high as he does. Did he not out-vertical everybody at the combine?
I think so.
The guy's an absolute freak. And Kentucky fans were,
and
they were so excited about him.
They got to see him in warm-ups do this stuff.
I mean, like,
but he never played.
Reverse 360 windmill dunks like it was nothing. Benedict Mathurin of Arizona. What did he drop, 29 on us
something like that?
He went 7 to the Pacers. I actually really like that pick.
6.
I'm sorry, yes, 6. Blazers had Sharp at 7.
Saw a lot of NBA guys on Twitter last night saying that, you know, like 5-10 years from now, like, people might look back and like Benedict Mathurin might be the best player from this draft.
He's solid, man.
He is.
I mean,
the guy's just a natural scorer.
I mean, at one point, it felt like we were doing a pretty good job on him, and I looked up, and I think he had 20.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, in the second half, as they were really coming back, he was, you know, he was leading the show. Tari Eason of LSU goes to the Rockets at 17. That's an interesting pick. Mentioned Walker Kessler to the Grizzlies at 22. Did Duke have four players go in the first round? Or was it just – no, I guess it was four in the first
Wendell
round.
Wendell Moore Jr., Paolo, Mark Williams.
And A.J. Griffin. Williams and Griffin went back-to-back. What is Coach K doing over there? All this first-round talent?
Mark Williams was really good. He's going to be a good pro, I think. He's got the body and the play style for an NBA big. He was teammates with Jaden Springer at IMG.
Okay. The Grizzlies drafted Ty Washington at 29 and then traded him to Minnesota.
Poor guy.
You don't want to live in Minnesota, Hickman?
What's wrong with Minnesota? It's nice in the summertime.
It's kind of funny that they draft a point guard and then they trade him
and then
they trade for Kennedy, another point guard. Yeah.
I mean, the value on Ty was probably really good, and I think maybe with Jaw, like, they might have actually just wanted Kennedy. I saw the comp for Kennedy Chandler was Chris Paul with hops.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go with quite that far, but that's a pretty good comparison.
It's a pretty good company. I mean,
Musa Diabate from Michigan went 43rd.
Speaking of big men with strange names, Kofi Cockburn did not get drafted last night. Did Scottie Pippen Jr. get drafted?
No.
Talk about a natural score.
He did end up on the Lakers, though. Two-way contract.
Interesting. Okay.
Pippen did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think Shaquille O'Neal's son as well.
Sharif?
He sucks.
He averaged 3 points and two rebounds.
He sucks.
But he's an O'Neal.
Yeah.
So he gets the nod.
He had to have pretty much like open heart surgery.
Yeah. They said that really slowed down his
hard
development.
Hard to recover from that when you're a kid. But so Kofi, he can't return to college basketball, can he? Did he hire an agent or
not? That's a good question. I don't know if he hired an agent. If you don't get drafted in the first two rounds and have not hired an agent, you can return. But I don't know. You don't have to. Because remember, 2 years ago, Bone, we thought he was going to go undrafted, and he was just going to go and, you know, try to make a G League team. Ended up getting drafted late, and obviously, once you get drafted, you have to stay in the league. What did the Knicks do that had everybody so upset?
Man, Stephen A. Smith, he was in shambles.
I mean, an absolute wreck. I mean, the Knicks have been kind of a dumpster fire for years now.
With their 11th pick, they drafted Usman Jang from the NZ Breakers.
New Zealand Breakers, yeah. But then they traded him to OKC?
Yes. So
how did they end up?
Who did they get in return? With?
Did they draft again? Oh, they drafted Trevor Keels of Duke at 42. Yikes.
Oh, apparently there were rumors they might move up.
And then did not. And then drafted and traded. Yeah, that would make me pretty mad.
All right, we'll break it down the flip side. Final segment, hour two next. Final segment of hour number two, Friday edition of the program. Miss any portion of the program, you can always download the podcast. Hour two will be up here shortly. Hickman, didn't you meet a listener out in the wild yesterday?
Yeah.
So they're listening to Three and Out like right then.
The
like,
wild?
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to Josh.
There you go.
Home Depot, you said, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Always fun.
You like the Home Depot?
You can just go hang out at Home Depot, you know? Like if you're
hang out at the Home Depot?
Like if your HVAC's out like mine was last week, you know?
All right, kids. Just go walk pile around. In.
It's crazy. You know, most places aren't that busy, you know, like midday, but like Home Depot, like
hopping.
11 o'clock on a Tuesday, that's the place to be.
They've got yesterday was a Thursday.
Yeah, but just, even on Tuesdays, like, I was trying to think of just the most random day of the week.
You can get a hot dog, you know?
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
They got hot dogs?
Yeah, they got a guy out there cooking hot dogs.
Did you get one?
No.
You didn't support local business by getting a damn hot dog?
Hey, man.
Blue Water Climate Control guy was
too much of a rush.
He was hacked because the hot dog guy wasn't there one day when they went over.
Too much of a rush for a hot dog? It's literally like, here's $3. Here's your hot dog. You eat it and walk. You don't even have to take time. Just say you weren't hungry.
It's a great place to train dogs, too. That's what the off-leash they did when they trained my dog. Just take him to the Home Depot.
Why is that?
Because there's plenty of little platforms to, like, teach him how to, like, place and, you know, not move. And it's long sight lines. You can have him sit and, you know, walk away. There's lots of people.
And Home Depot is okay with that?
Apparently, yeah. Apparently. It's great.
Dog Depot. Mm. Good for them. That's big time.
What do you think about the theme that maybe Rick Barnes' system's not great for the NBA draft?
I don't think that's the case with Kennedy Chandler.
What about with Keon and Jaden?
I think that was just a weird – I mean, that was the COVID year. Mm.
And Kennedy Chandler was the best point guard in the country the second half of the season.
Is that true? I'm not saying it's not.
He was up there.
I'm just asking the question. I don't know.
I would –
He was lights out in the Michigan game. Just didn't get much help.
And he was better than Ty-Ty.
He was better than Ty-Ty. Ty-Ty also got hurt.
Kennedy got hurt.
Yeah, but not like that. He rolled his ankle a couple times, but he was fine.
Yeah, for a shifty guard, though, that's
yeah, but Ty-Ty thing. Like almost broke his ankle. I think the biggest knock was that he was barely 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
I think it really just comes down to that. I mean, what was Ty-Ty? Is he like 6'2", 6'3"?
I think he's 6'1", actually.
Really?
I mean, still, though, an extra inch is
I'm going to be interested to see what the Grizz do with Morant and Kennedy. Like, is that a Kennedy spells Jaw? Is that a Kennedy comes in and plays the two? Do they move Jaw to the two? Do they even care about getting them on the court together? But regardless, I'd say Kennedy Chandler feels a little bit disappointed with where he was drafted as far as, you know, going 38th. But I think he also realizes, I mean, that's a great landing spot to have, you know, a mentor and a friend
yeah.
and John Morant be there and advocating for you. Like, that's a really, really big deal. Not to mention he gets to stay home.
I mean, some
maybe
guys,
he didn't want that, but I, you know, it's good to have your support system around you like that.
Yeah, some guys, regardless of the talent, they just get drafted, and for some reason, the transition is just too big of a task for them to really handle.
Mm-hmm.
Being in your hometown helps.
I think so.
Having a guy that you're close with helps. Guy that'll mentor you.
And Kennedy's not being asked to go there and be the superstar yeah. right away, right? Like, Ja Morant is. I mean, he is a superstar
yeah.
in the NBA.
He's
so,
a future MVP.
Yeah, no one's going to be sitting there expecting Kennedy Chandler to work some miracles and all of a sudden, you know, lead the team in scoring and, you know, garner all these awards. Like, that's still Jaw's team. That's why I really like the fit for Kennedy because I think he's a really good player. He has a little bit different personality than, like, some of the superstars that you see in the NBA. He's a little more
quiet,
a little passive, but I think when you put him next to Ja, like, that's going to allow him to play freer. You know, I don't think he's going to be as worried about making mistakes. And, again, much less pressure to go to Memphis. But, I mean, I don't – like, what did Rick Barnes not do for Kennedy Chandler that would have got him drafted higher? Like, free throws? Like, what else? I mean, he played great defense.
Mm-hmm.
He was a prolific scorer, ran the offense, ran the team, attacked the rim.
I mean, run more – NBA concepts on offense instead yeah. of running the a lot of off-ball screens, motion, pinwheel, you know, pin down, mid-range. Just let Kennedy Chandler get a ton of ball screens and run NBA offense.
Jaw's yeah. already been on Twitter hopping up the trade. He's pretty happy about it.
Yeah, he seems really stoked, which is good. I mean, that's an awesome thing to walk into if you're Kennedy Chandler.
All right. There we go. We'll come back, kick off hour number two. We didn't tell you what the Knicks did, but I guess I can get into that next.